Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm your host, Damon Bolte, and today is our 100th episode. Can't even believe we made it this far, especially with the kind of drinking we do in this studio.
Woo!
Yeah. And I can't think of anyone better to have in the studio than my friends, my bosses and mentors, the Franks, Frank Falsinelli and Frank Castronovo from the whole Frankie's Empire, Prime Meats, Rez, Cafe Peddler, and the rest of the world. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
Happy to be here.
Oh, yeah.
Honored to be the attendees of the Centepisode.
Centepisode. I like that. I like making up words. Is that even a word, or did you just make it up?
I just made it
up. I think you did. I like that, man.
I like making up words,
I do, too. Yeah.
You know, Shakespeare made up the most words.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Give me an example.
That's very Shakespearean.
So you guys, like, we've known each other now for about 5 years, I guess. I just started working with you guys a little bit after I met you. Probably actually a little bit longer than that. So I definitely met Frank F. first. I was working at Linnell's down in Red Hook. And you come in, and you're wearing a Frankie's 457 t-shirt like you are today, actually. And I was like, hey, Frankie's, I like that place. Do you work there? And you're like, ha, yeah, I work there. And I'm like, all right, cool, man. You're like, no, yeah, I'm Frank. I'm like, oh, sweet. And so we started shopping around. You're like, dude, I just want to get a bunch of baller ass stuff. And I remember you being like, what's the most baller bottle of whiskey you got here? And I'm like, oh man, you should totally get this Charbet hop infused whiskey. It was the first bottling run, and it was like cash strength, it was like 130 proof or so, and I'm like, dude, like, have a little sip. And you're like, dude, tastes like weed. I'm like, yeah, man, it's awesome. And so you're like, give me a bottle. We get to the register, and you're like, how much is it? I'm like, that's $400. And you're like, oh, I like you.
Did he I got a question. Did he buy it?
I don't remember. I don't think he did. Maybe he did. But that was the beginning of our friendship.
I did buy it.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah. You still have it? Probably not.
No. Travis actually drank it all.
Yeah. Travis Kaufman likes his whiskey. So, yeah. So, geez. I mean, like, it's been 5 years now. I've been working with you guys, and it's been great.
And we have a band together.
And we have a band together called Woke Up Drunk.
Woke Up Drunk.
You know, very secret shows that we'd like to play every once in a while, especially down at Rez, which is a new place. Like, that's another... Okay, we've got many things to talk about, but we might as well, like, fire off with the latest venture with Rez down in Red Hook, which is...
Rez is a... It's a building in Red Hook that Frank, myself, and Travis purchased. That kind of has the same layout as Frankie's without the restaurant, with two apartments upstairs, and it's solely set up for the residency for visiting chefs to present their work to New York, and in a really comfortable environment and without being stressed, you know, with having to have an open restaurant. So if you look at the calendar, you have about 360 days. So it's 150 days of residency, 150 days of fun parties, and 60 days of presentation by Frank and myself to present our ideas, 30 in the spring and 30 in the fall, preferably. Cool. So, and actually we have a Contra Mars coming to cook with us tonight with Swallow Magazine. They're installing themselves as Contra Mar restaurant to present the Mexican issue this evening.
Swallow Magazine.
Swallow Magazine.
Yeah.
Great bunch of guys.
Put out an issue, this year's issue of Mexico City, and they chose Jair Telez from Contra Mar to come down and do the cooking with us.
And that's happening tonight.
That's happening tonight at 372 Columbia Street, which is the address of Rez in Red Hook, Brooklyn.
Nice. So, was this out of, like, like inquiries from like, like.
Oh, by the way, we're doing a toast right here right now.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's the scent episode. And we got mezcal.
Oh yeah.
This is scent delicious.
My guest is already gone, man. You can't even choose.
You know, there's nothing better you can drink to when you're doing a Mexican toast than mezcal.
Absolutely, man.
No, but the idea was really not. Yeah, I mean, it was more wrought out of experience than anything else, because Frank and I had traveled around last, you know, half a decade or more, and you know, every time we go to a place, we're always visiting. You wind up seeing the dude, or you go to a Mad Food Symposium in Copenhagen every summer, and you're around all these great chefs, and you know, after you have the experience and you have all the contacts and you meet everybody, and you know, what do you do with them? You know, you have them come to your restaurant and cook a dinner, but how do you really get it on an art level where it's not just a single faceted dinner? You know, it's you come in, you do a dinner, and you leave, and you get really more. More of the ideas and the influences and the experience of that particular individual. So, you know, we kind of going on the artist residency.
Culinary residence.
Model where, you know, you can come and you can present your work maybe three times in a month or four times in a month. And we're not saying there's no criteria other than that you show up and you share your ideas with whoever we sell. You know, we're selling at-cost tickets to people who subscribe to them on the Res website, which is resxres.com.
Resresres.com.
Oh, resresresres.com.
ResX is the Twitter handle.
So for example, you know, in a perfect world, we have Rene Redzepi comes in, you know, October, November. He presents his new book. Maybe he stays a few weeks with one of his sous chefs, a couple of guys. We have three places for them to stay, or two and a half places for them to stay at this point.
Yeah, the format is basically however you want it to be. It's
modular.
It's speaking. You don't have to cook at all. You could do a dinner. You could do a demonstration on a culinary idea that you're working on right now. Could be a day. It could be a week. It could be a month. It's open right now.
Yeah, and it's a no charge basis for the residency when they stay. So, you know, for a chef, even the greatest chefs, you know, to be able to stay in Brooklyn, so close to Manhattan, amongst their peers, being able to receive people and not have to be stressed out by a restaurant running, it's on the
waterfront.
It's great for the chefs, and it's great for the population of New York that are interested in that sort of thing. And I mean, if you look at if I do a residency at the Guggenheim, or if I do it at Carnegie Hall, whatever it is, and say I'm Richard Serra and I'm a great sculptor,
it's prestigious.
I don't come to a symposium and make the sculpture. When I come to a symposium and I present my work, I talk about my work. I discuss my work. I tell you what my influences are.
Sure,
I tell
sure.
you what my experiences. I don't make a sculpture with you. You know, so we're trying to really we're not trying to get away from the experience format, but we want the guest to experience what's on the mind of the chef and what, you know, what's in their heart in terms of, you know, their what they create or what they're, you know, what they do.
We want them to keep it real.
And they don't need
to have to work under confinement.
Yeah, you know, like to me, it's like when I travel around and do like guest bartending spots, which like to me, like, you know, I know you guys like as chefs, like a lot of you guys and ladies like will jump around and, like, stage in different kitchens and whatnot and, like, have, like, you know, you'll have a guest chef. Like, you know, Danny Bowen will come in or, like, Sean Brock or somebody like that will come in and, like, hang out and, like, for a night and, like, throw down in the kitchen. You know, you'll run, like, a couple of specials. What's cool about this, what actually makes it more special to me is, like, it's not, like, a set thing. You know, even when I'm, like, going to guest bartend somewhere or, like, you know, even, like, staging for a couple of hours, it's, like, you're still on someone else's stage. You know,
exactly.
And their show is still running.
Yeah,
just happen to be a character.
Yeah, that's it precisely.
This is exactly going to be like more like your stage.
Open stage,
and,
right?
And speaking of that, we should actually get you on the calendar.
I'm bartending there this Saturday.
But you
mean the band?
Damon Bolte this Saturday at Res.
To do your, like, a presenter work.
Yeah,
like,
man.
Do a symposium or something like that.
Dude, me and Sean Brock are already talking about it. About a month ago, we're like, dude, we should do like a total southern, like,
that's the
crazy, like a whirlwind, a tornado a flavor, how you will.
We'll call it the whiskey barrel night.
And also it's more intimate for the guest chef or whoever it is that comes in. It's more intimate for them. It's all more intimate for the citizen of New York that comes to one of these things, because in New York you have a great representation of the arts. You have a great representation of music. You have a great representation of museums. There's great representations of commercial aspect restaurants where you go to the restaurant, you order the food, and you get it, or you go and do a thing. But this will be a great way to have an intimate experience with whomever that is that's presenting it.
Yeah, because we max out at about 100.
Yeah, we can fit about 100. Maybe, it's a great beta, too, because it'll be able to be scale up, and we'll be able to do larger scale events. But for a chef to stay in New York free of charge, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's huge, man. Even when, I go guest bartend in another city, it's like, still, you're in a hotel.
It hurts.
And it sucks.
It hurts.
Yeah, and we also, it's not specific, we don't want to, it's not specifically for chefs only. Yeah. You could be
hospitality industry,
culinary arts, anything.
So what you're saying is, I'm gonna move in there.
Yeah,
I'm
doing a residence for the next 360 days of the year.
We have a resident. We have a resident bartender living there as well.
Exactly, Brett lives upstairs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for the moment.
That's awesome.
Sorry, Brett.
Sorry about the noise, buddy. But what's cool about that too is outside of the chefs that are you need some more mezcal? Let's get some more mezcal in here. So what's cool though?
Dispatch the mezcal.
Just rip off the goddamn neck of the bottle and just let it go. And dude, what's cool is last year when you guys acquired the space, we definitely had a few cookouts, and my band got to play there. With Vetiver,
yeah,
and it was awesome. Are you guys planning on having more live music? Because so far you guys have had a lot of DJs there this summer.
Well,
we got in trouble.
Yeah, that's because it was really really late. But yeah, we definitely wanted to be multimedia without being multi
and visual art shows and stuff like that too.
It could be anything. It
could be anything, right?
If Con Rocco wants to come down and show his film, bring it on, man.
Yeah,
he's got a really nice film that he put a lot of time and money into, and if they want to screen it on the wall, we have a giant wall we can screen off of.
Yeah,
more than welcome. It doesn't have to be it's wide open. That's why it's not it's not specified to dinners, it's not specific to just culinary demos. It could be anything.
Yeah awesome,
as long as it's not commercial.
Yeah man Yeah man, fuck commercial shit. And on that note, we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. And then we'll be right back with Frank Falsinelli and Frank Castronovo. Went to the preacher, said I'm a man of sin. Still didn't need the fear of God, but all he was a man, and I'm going down. Yeah, I'm going.
Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, pasture-raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
And we are back. You're listening to The Speakeasy. 100 episodes today with my good buddies, the Franks, Frank Castronovo and Frank Falsinelli of Frankie's Prime Meats, Cafe Peddler, Rez, all of the above. And we were just talking about Rez, the new spot. Now, so I want to talk a little bit about attention to detail, because that's one of the things that really hit me, struck me pretty heavily when I first went into Frank. Sorry. into Frankie's for the first time. I went in for lunch, and first of all, I had the Frankie's iced tea, which is Greg Fanisala's drink, and it was like a Nardini Amaro based cocktail. Now I think it's made with a Verde, but I was like, damn, it's like my favorite Amaro, and you use that as the base of a drink. That's great. I mean, like, yeah, everyone knows I'm a big Fernet Branca drinker, and I like to base drinks with that, but I'm like, dude, Nardini Amaro based cocktail, that's great.
Chefs making cocktails. It's all about the quality of the ingredients.
Yeah.
It speaks for itself.
Yeah, man. And, you know, like, it was that and, like, you know, other things like simplicity, but, you know, also attention to detail. And when you simplify things, you have the opportunity to, like, pay attention to detail. Especially, like I came in to consult with you guys for Frankie's. And then, like, I thought I was, like, rolling out the door, you know, like, the end of the summer. And you guys were like, wait, bro. We got this other thing we're doing, and it ended up being Prime Meats. And you showed me the space, and we're still building it out. And I remember, like, helping you guys, like, install some of the stuff, like, tables and stuff like that, and the bar stuff. And it was, like, really cool. Like, we were, like, hanging out a lot of late nights with Travis, like, at the bar, like, you know, stating and, like, oiling and, like, doing all that stuff. And, like, but it was, like, looking around and, like, seeing the... For me, like, especially... being there since, like, before the beginning, you know, like, seeing the way that it's grown and, like, evolved into what it is now, and just seeing all the attention to detail and in the workmanship, you know? It's like, a lot of people don't do that, you know? A lot of people don't seek out, you know, they don't go to Brimfield Antique Fair, you know, three times a year to, like, find, like, the matching original, like, gas lighting fixtures or, you know, the... like the original tin ceiling
company that still makes the tin ceilings the same way they did over 100 years ago. Yeah, well, you know you're the same way, Damon. I mean, you put yourself together really well. You put your menu together really well.
You do really
fine work for us. You're more than a bartender. You're the director of beverage in all our entire company.
Thanks, man.
You know, and It's the same thing.
And I like doing it with you guys because, I mean, you did, like, when you brought me on, you gave me completely, like, free range, like, to do whatever the hell I wanted to do. It, you know, but, like, with the trust and the understanding that I understand your style of, like culinary style and, like, your whole, like, mission statement. So that was really cool, too. And it was great to, like, kind of, like, build, like, from a simplistic, you know, like... back bar, so to speak, and then like start building.
You gave you a brand new fresh canvas. You could do whatever you want, and because you know Frank and I aren't authoritarians, that's why we hired Chris Harkness. he does that for us.
He's the guy who does that for you. Yeah, man. But I mean, like that going back to the simplicity of it, it's like for one thing. Okay, like for example, like Frankie's has. Like, Frankie's 457 has 11 salads on the menu. 11 salads.
And how that's, many pastas? That's
11 salads and growing.
Yeah, dude. I mean, and that what's crazy about that is, like, that's more than most people have as far as entrees.
You know, they're not really salads. They're more like vegetable compositions.
They're a vegetable jam.
Exactly. Yeah, some of them have a little meat in it, but most of them are pretty vegetarian. But it's important because there's so many... there's so much you could do with it, and just like what you're doing.
Well, that's what the thing is. Like, it's the same thing. It's like, you know, you've got like a simple salad that's fucking delicious and crisp and fresh, right? And same thing with like cocktails. It's like you get like four ingredients together, you know, and you can make a badass cocktail.
Yeah, it's about editing. You know, you can take four ingredients with a cocktail, four ingredients with food, and you can do, you know, 80 combinations. And that's what we try to do.
Yeah. It's like cucumber, lime, salt, and pepper. Those all taste great together, right? It's yep. Like, duh. That's a no-brainer. Well, I did that with a cocktail recently for the Prime Meats menu that has mezcal in it. It's like, oh, I took this salad idea, this cucumber salad idea.
Yeah, different ratios.
And then threw some mezcal in it, you know? It's like...
do something with different ratios and different proportions, and it makes it completely different.
That's funny you say that, too, because, like, in the cocktail world, they're especially going back to like the late 19th century, there are a lot of cocktails that all you do is like change a garnish, and all of a sudden you can name it something else. Or like even changing like the amount of dashes of bitters, and then all of a sudden it's a different cocktail.
The master of that was Auguste Escoffier.
Yeah.
He would constantly just change...
Change other people's shit?
You know, parsley, tomato, tarragon. Mm-hmm. And it would, every single thing had a different name for each one of his girlfriends.
Yeah. isn't that like kind of like...
When you read his book, if you haven't read it, you look at all the different recipes, and you realize, oh, that's the same recipe with just added...
It's like the mother sauces, right?
Tarragon, yeah.
It's like the same exact thing, right?
Yeah, or... Instead of tarragon, it's thyme, and instead of shallot, it's onion.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing with cocktails too, man. It's like you basically have like the equivalent of like mother sauces with cocktails. You've got like your martini, your Manhattan, your old fashioned, and like Negroni, and then you can take those and those are just stirred cocktails. We're not even talking about sours yet, you know. So you take those and you can make variations on all of those, and then all of a sudden you've got like. You know how many variations there are on the Negroni, which actually is like a third step variation?
And my favorite.
It's crazy. It's like, there's so, like, I've made probably 20 variations on the Negroni. But, like, they start throwing out names, you know? It's crazy. It's like going back to the mother sauces, you know, in Escoffier.
Yeah. My favorite is the Antico formula.
The vermouth?
Yeah.
Man, that stuff's sexy.
Yeah.
It's like having sex on a pile of cash.
So good.
Yeah, that stuff is awesome. And that, especially like in a Negroni, man. Especially, like, even a Mezcal Negroni, which we should be getting some more Mezcal in here.
Mezcal? I don't think I've ever had a Mezcal Negroni.
Oh, dude, you ain't lived yet.
Really?
Damn. I gotta get one of those.
It's like the smoky, briny kind of quality of the Mezcal with the chocolatey, like, kind of sweetness. It's good.
Chris?
Where's Chris?
He's rolling around.
Harkness?
He heard me.
Is he here?
No.
Oh, shit.
Hey, Chris is on vacation.
That's right.
Hope you're having a great vacation, Chris.
So, yeah, I mean, like, but going back, getting back to the point, though, is, like, it's, I think that's the reason why people did, like, Frankie so much. Like, even people who, and I had this discussion the other night, even people who are, like, vegetarians, like, not to, like, I mean, we just said that, we, you know, you have, like, 11 salads on the menu, but, like, even people that are vegetarians, like, they come to Prime Meats and find something. But it's a lot easier to go to Frankie's and find something, you know? Yeah. But it's, like, it's so accessible. My mom, who is, like, the most finicky eater in the world, she fucking loves Frankie's because, like, she can get down, like, it's, Frankie's is, like, my gateway drug for my mom. Like, oh, you're here, you're having a salad. Why don't you try the octopus salad? Which she would be like, why are we eating octopus? That's fucking weird. But it's like, try it.
It's mostly salad, just a little octopus.
Yeah, exactly, man.
And then it's like, you know, you try one and then you eat a little bit of dandelion and then you try two. Yeah. And the next thing you know it, you like octopus. And people have said that many times, you know, when I come out to your restaurants, yeah, I didn't even know I liked this thing.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And Prime Meats, like you were saying, you know, it has a lot of choices on it. You know, Prime Meats, don't be fooled by the name. It has a lot of non-meat items.
A lot of green.
Yeah.
Well, just in the same way that Prime Meats has been evolving, like as far, well, not, I mean, like progressively growing, you know, like as far as even like the build out, the menu is constantly like evolving and changing as well, which I think is really cool. I mean, it's like we don't keep the same menu like behind the bar, you know. Seasonally, yeah, we change with the seasons, and like, but what's cool is like it's kind of like quickly, like more quickly changing with the food, you know. But like, I think clearly, like there are seasons. The seasons are shorter for different foodstuffs, right? It's like, oh, now there's like try start with strawberries. It's like we've got like a 3-4 week window for those to be good, right?
Yeah.
And then like, you know, you can have like a whole like season of like 3 months for a cocktail menu and then change it.
Yeah.
But it's much more rapid with the food, right?
Yeah. Yep. And you know, your cocktails are, I mean, I remember when you started working for us, I mean, it really opened up our world as far as, you know, how creative you could be with drinks and how, you know, how much fresh ingredients you could actually put in drinks, which you do. So well, you know, Heike is like, I never even knew my wife was such a huge cocktail fan, but it wasn't until you came and then we started drinking cocktails all the time. They're fantastic.
Awesome.
Use the seasons are great to inspire cocktails.
Well, dude, that's the thing. Is like every time, like, you know, because we make a different punch every day. It's like, it's good exercise for any bartender. Like, walk into, especially when you work with a kitchen. You know, there's always this like whole like thing about like front of the house, back of the house, like this rivalry. You can't have that shit, man. You know, and we've talked about it quite a bit on the show, actually. And like, it's like the most important thing in that environment is like to have a good standing relationship with the front and back. You know, and like chefs and bartenders, you know, you're doing the same thing. You're creating something that you hopefully is very delicious and like eye opening for your customers. And you're, as a chef and as a bartender, more than making dishes, to me, it's like you're building an experience.
Yeah.
For your guests.
No walls.
Yeah.
No borders, no barriers. Everything is, we're all the same.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I liked about when I went to Noma the first time with Frank and Tony was the experience of having the chef serve you so that everybody was serving, you know, and it's all about service, you know, even the chefs. It's not the chef's cook and then here, take this out, you know, it's that's how it should be. And I think that we try that. We do a pretty good job.
Dude, I mean, like, to me, it's like I've learned so much from you guys and from the other chefs in, you know, in the company just about, like, techniques. Like, my thing is always, like, whiskey, bitters.
Well, they love having you in the kitchen because you're funny.
I get pretty goofy. It's like...
And they probably enjoy it, and they enjoy at the end of the night getting a shift drink with you.
I definitely know that's true.
And here's another shot of mezcal for this.
Oh boy,
this occasion.
But you know what I mean. Like, there's certain things that we can learn from each other. Like, especially like when you guys are and one of the other chefs like come to the bar and they're like, "Hey man, I'm doing this like rillette, you know, and like I need some sort of spirit to put in." It's like, "Oh shit, what are you putting in this? Like, what are your ingredients?" It's like, "Oh well, you should obviously use like an old tanch or like Geneva or something that's going to be like malty and it's going to like build up the character." Or like, you know, like that information should be like free, you know, like you said, no walls, man. And like that information should be passed back and forth, just like the whole thing with like res. It's like people are coming in, you got chefs and different like culinary people, like service industry people coming in and out, and like they're learning as much from you, like from their stage there, and like they're learning from themselves as well, like what they can achieve with like what they have, like from that blank canvas.
Yeah.
And but we're all also learning from them, you know, like we're trading chops. Oh, yeah. It's like when you're trading chops, like with our band Woke Up Drunk. It's like, "Oh shit, you play, what did you just play? How did you do that? All right, sweet, let's rock." You know, it's like that's the whole idea I like about this. Especially like I said, you know, when I started with you guys, started picking up a lot of chops, you know. I didn't know how to handle a knife properly when I first started. And I'd come to realize that outside of my shakers and my bar spoons, you know, that the knife is one of my most important tools in my chef bag, you know. But, like, that's something I wouldn't have learned unless I had, like, taken a class or something, you know.
Sharp knife.
Yeah. But I think it's, like... That exchange of information and that community, as it is extremely important, and you guys are very important for that community.
Thank you.
You guys have been very selfless and very supportive of all the chefs around. You know, like Danny Bowen coming to the city, man, you guys are helping him out, you know, like getting his feet on the ground and like doing his thing. And like these guys out of Roberta's, remember when they were starting up, they were coming in all the time, like hanging out, saying what's up, and like, you know, putting their stuff together. It's like, you guys have done a lot for the community, man.
That's what it's all about, man. It's about enjoying it and seeing other people succeed and, you know, giving back to the community because we all benefit.
Yeah. And then we're going to be the Grateful Dead of bands.
That was a statement I made many years ago. You know, I hope to be someday seen as the Grateful Dead of restaurateurs.
Yeah.
I'm still working at it. I got a long road, man.
Timeless.
It's a long, strange trip, man.
I'm still in the beginnings here. I got a long way to go.
Yeah.
But we do.
Well, shit, man. We're at the end of the show.
Wow. That was fast.
Let's do another hour.
Let's do another hour. Let's call in Jack. Guys, I couldn't think of anyone better to have on the show than you guys today for my 100th episode. And I've loved working with you guys for this many years and seeing you guys grow and loved how you've helped me grow as a bartender and as a host. And I, you know, can't thank you enough for both the opportunity to work with you guys and the experiences, and also for being my 100th guest.
It's our pleasure.
The feeling is mutual. Thank you.
All right.
It's an honor.
That's it for the Speakeasy today. Thank you, everyone, that's been on the show in the past. All the bartenders, bar owners, managers, brand ambassadors, sommeliers, chefs, authors. Everyone's been on. It's been a long, strange trip. And here's to 100 more.
Woo!
We'll see you next week.
Chin
cheers.
Chin.
How much time is on our roll?
Save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.